Welcome to the Open Doors Podcast. I'm Janine.
I'm Marissa.
I'm Yvette.
This is a place where we would like to welcome you into our stories of rising and of falling, of laughing and of crying, of loving and of losing. We aren't perfect. We definitely don't have it all together. We don't even fully understand, but we do have each other. And because of that, we have an open door. Hi guys, welcome back.
Hi everyone.
Hello everyone.
Yellow.
So as you guys can see, we have Mike Mastropola returning today.
Welcome back.
Yeah, we're so excited to have him again. And we were talking about the subject of prayer. We had just recently recorded with George from Marian Militia, and we did a whole episode on the Brown Scapular. And we thought that was pretty cool, and a lot of people were so interested. And we just wanted to really talk about prayer, just put it out there, basic levels of prayer. And we invited Mike to come in and have a conversation about it. So what do you have to tell us, Mike?
Well, first of all, I'm very honored to be here. I'm very excited to be with all you guys. It's like being on the Mount of Transfiguration, where you could just be yourself in Jesus Christ, and you don't have to be guarded, you know, you're in that safe harbor. And that's how I feel right now. But before I begin, I did pray for this podcast, knowing I was going to be on it. And I have to rely on Jesus. I can't trust myself, but I have to put complete trust in him. So these words came to me, and if I could remember them, they become more powerful each time I say it or meditate on them. Drink in the spirit of my truth, and you will be filled with all that is true and holy, displacing all that is false and perverse. Drink the new wine. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
It was so powerful. And to begin with, you know, I know the topic is prayer. God gifted me with the gift of art and creativity. And my favorite type of painting is painting about God, is painting about the Lord. And I remember way back, I did a painting of the Last Supper, the institution of the Holy Eucharist and the beginning of the priesthood. And in that painting, I modeled the apostles after people I know. And your dad, Mike DeVinney, is in it. So many other people, a couple of priests, myself. And then I had Jesus. I used my neighbor's eyes, and the rest is kind of like just my own fabrication. And then also Judas. Mm-hmm. I didn't ask anyone to be Judas. I didn't want to offend anyone. But he's leaving. If you could, in your mind's eye, you could see everyone's around the table. John the Beloved is looking up at Christ. I have my hand on John the Beloved, who's very special to me. Mm-hmm. And Judas is leaving, and there's an empty spot, and the new wine is spilled over, and it's coming out of the cup, and it's spilled over. And I looked at that the other day, and I said, okay, Lord, the new wine. And through my art, that was a form of prayer for me.
Yeah.
Every time I do a painting, it's like I'm in another world. I'm in another place. And it's so many things come to me, symbols or whatever, and it's just total immense prayer. And I just wanted to share that. As a kid, I it was me and God, but it was mostly me. God, can you do this? I need this. I need to get 100 on my test. You ever feel that way?
Yeah.
I need this. I need that. It was always me and God, me and God.
Yeah.
As I developed, and what helped me was when I met your dad at Good Shepherd. He was the leader of the prayer group. He has the gift of tears. He would always do a reading and then tears. And I wondered, what's this guy crying about? Now I know.
Yeah.
Do you know? Now I know. It's beautiful. And I have that now. But the most beautiful thing he showed me about the faith was he had a Life in the Spirit seminar. And that's the time with the charismatic renewal. I didn't know anything about it, but people are praising, dancing.
Yeah.
It reminds me of your prayer group a few times that I went.
Yeah.
But back then, we had the Life in the Spirit seminar, and that's when my prayer life began to change. Mm-hmm. I did receive the gift of tongues, which is the least of the gifts, mm-hmm. but it builds up to how I pray today. That was what's considered effective prayer. Effective prayer is when it's more than your knowledge of your head,
yes.
and your heart starts to come into it.
Yeah.
So the Life in the Spirit was the first effective prayer that I realized it today what it was, but at the time I didn't. And then of course praise and thanksgiving with the prayer group, that's another way that we experience prayer. So that's where it began. So now it wasn't me and God, it was God and me.
Mm.
You know? Yeah. And now I'm at the point in my life, I am, you know, the age I am, 75, I'll say it. And I want to get as close as I can to Jesus, this side of heaven. And with final perseverance, I keep praying for that maybe one day, you know, I will see him face to face. But now my prayer has changed again. I still do all those other prayers, but now it's totally God.
I just want to comment on that whole beginning part, because I think that so many people share your experience and they don't realize that that's what's happening. I think so many of us start just like how you said, with like, okay, I need this to happen. I'm going to pray this prayer. I'm going to say this. It's a lot of me talking to God. It's a lot of that. And it's a lot of head knowledge. And then, so what you commented on was that when you went to the Life in the Spirit seminar, it turned into your heart. Your heart got convicted.
Absolutely.
And that, so because I'm all into the neuroscience and I'm studying the brain and I'm studying everything. And what the Life in the Spirit seminar does is it takes all of those things that we learn as we're growing up in faith, and it combines it with your heart, with like the emotion piece. So you have the intellectual and you have the emotion piece, and then it's now God is joined with them both, and you get understanding of the Bible that never made sense before. And now your prayer becomes more alive and you're in a relationship. It turns it. I feel like in Catholicism, I've said this before, it's usually not an either or, it's a both and. You need both. But once you light that fire, it's like there's no turning back.
I think the point is to overall is that the way prayer becomes effective is the moment that you have that true first encounter with Jesus. And that's where the heart and the head merge. But it comes through the encounter. And I think, like you said, like all parts of it are important.
Yeah.
And the encounter can come in any way. The encounter can come when you're in the boxing ring. The encounter can come when you're painting. The encounter can come in a Life in the Spirit seminar, or a friend praying in the classroom with you, or sitting in a like wherever it may be. Maybe it's listening to music. Maybe it's in your car. Maybe it's looking at the sky. And like, I know I'm just like rambling about ways. It's just, I think sometimes people get really boxed in about what prayer is, and prayer has to be a certain way, and prayer is a script, and prayer is, you know, I'm not really praying if I can't get quiet or whatever. Like, I just think that people get very stuck in the lie that prayer has to be a certain way, but it's individual because it's an encounter, it's a relationship, it's heart. What I love about it is that prayer can come any second, any moment of the day, wherever you may be.
I feel like with praying, it's so, we're constantly told that I guess it would be more like we think that it's just a contemplative thing, that it's just a standstill, as you said, or a, you know, just a pause. But really, we're told to pray without ceasing. And I feel like what that means is we're supposed to do it with him. We're supposed to do everything with him, insert him in there, do the weeding with him, do the boxing with him. And that's where the fun comes out of it. It's, you're no longer alone working. It's no longer work. It's fun.
It reminds me of when you said, I think you were maybe like a month or two ago, you said the way you were like talking with God, you thought you were talking like to yourself. And then you realize, wait a minute, I think I'm actually talking to God. And maybe it is a checklist one day, and maybe it's a demand the other day. But Mary Militia, said that, or George, sorry, said this in his episode, just giving him a moment to speak back.
That's the whole gist of it. You know, it's not only God listening to us, but us listening to God. Give him that pause, that silence where you can hear his voice and his gentle voice in the still part of your soul, the very deepest part of your soul.
I'd like to also go back to your art for 1 minute.
Yeah, sure.
Because when you were speaking, I know that picture that you were describing of the Last Supper. It's in my house growing up. I've looked at it my whole entire life. And you know that there are parts of it that I missed. When you were describing it and you started by saying like what your heart was for it. And then you incorporated these parts of things that I didn't notice. Like I didn't have the eyes to see, but now I'm like, I want to go home and I want to relook at that painting and I want to look at the parts of it. And I think a lot of people use art as a way to draw nearer to God. And I actually feel like you might have just opened up a door for me. Like there's so many paintings that you have given that I take one look at and I'm like, whoa, this is so gorgeous. But now I want to look closer because the artist puts more into it and it could lift you closer to God. It's a prayer.
Yeah, thank you. At the time, you know, I had the spilled cup because I was coming on here. I really looked at it and it just, after those words, it just hit me. Now, again, I just want to mention why Judas wasn't modeled after anyone, because it could be me, it could be you, it could be you, and it could be you. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want, you know, so, and in my journey, because this is a journey, the prayer is a journey, you know, and James brought out a great point. It's him and God, you know, it's you and God, me and God, all of us and God. And that's where my prayer has come to, where it's as much as I can, I'm human, I'm weak. I need him. Like I said, I can't trust myself, but I could trust him. But everything, everything, everything is Jesus. And that brings me joy.
Mm-hmm. I could see it.
It's like my wife complimented me the other day and she said, you know, shout out to Marietta, my beautiful wife, because she told me, I see a big difference in you these days. I feel so loved. I feel that in the beginning, you weren't as giving as you are today. And she's right. I was kind of selfish. Even when I came to the Lord, in a sense, it was like I wanted the recognition of like speaking Jesus. And I was, you know, I probably turned more people off Jesus than I do now. Again, what I want to come to is when you love God, God is love. And this is in the way I pray today. Do you realize, I just realized, you're loving every child, woman, or man that was ever created or will be created. You're loving them. It's like mind-boggling.
Yeah.
You know?
And, it opens your heart to see other people. I feel like that's what your wife did. I feel like she saw you.
Yeah, and I just want to say, like, I like being in a space like, I really admire the cloistered nuns and the monks, you know. Part of me likes that contemplative life. You know, I'm a married man with children, and I know that's my obligation and that's my ministry. But there's that part of me that just wants to be, even if it's at home monk. Do you know what I'm saying? But I look at my wife, when you love someone, like St. Thomas Aquinas says, you will the good of the other. It's because of Marietta, that's why I wanted to give her a shout out, that I'm able to do all this. She's like the action part. And her prayer is like domestic monastery. She's like a monk in her own home with all the grandchildren. And that's beautiful. So for all you listeners out there, you don't have to be this holy, holy person. You know, in whatever you do, if you give it to Jesus and let him lead you, with your whole heart, you have that heart-to-heart connection.
Yeah.
And that's St. John the Beloved. I talked about
that
in my painting. It's the heart-to-heart connection. He's the one who rested his head on the breast of Jesus. And in my prayer, I tried to do that. And it's like, wow, you know, Brother John, you know.
I love this. It reminds me also of St. Therese. So Therese, I love what I love about Therese, I feel like we talk about her. We have such a girl crush on Therese. We love her so much. she wanted to be a missionary. She wanted to go and like preach the gospel like to the whole entire world. And she ended up being a Carmelite nun. A lot of people don't know what that is. A Carmelite nun is a person who just spends their whole entire life in prayer.
Prayer, right.
They're in prayer. They're not outside. They're not communicating with the outside world hardly ever. So they're spending so much time alone. And she died really young. She was in her early 20s, yes. I believe, when she passed yes. away. But she had this heart for like the whole world. She's like, I want to spend my heaven praying for people on earth. Like, I want to spend my heaven. And I'm not, I think she just is, because the profound impact of that beautiful woman who lived in a cloister, like she wasn't out in the world, but she's, to me, that's a missionary right there, you know, and he can do anything with anyone.
There was a story about Saint Therese. Shout out to Gianna, my oldest granddaughter. Same birth date as Saint Therese, and that's her confirmation name.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. There's a story, and I'm sorry to interrupt, you know, but I have it on my mind since you mentioned. There's a story about Saint Therese when she was 1 year old, mm-hmm. 1 year old, and did these steps, and on the top of the stairs was Christ, and she couldn't make the first step. So in her mind, she pretended to make the first step, and Jesus took her up. She's the little way.
She's the little way. Another quick Saint Therese story before I take over this whole podcast myself. She was so much into the little way that story like transformed her as she got older. She would say like, oh, I can't be doing all these grand, mighty things. So instead of me just like walking, can you just, Jesus, you just carry me up the stairs. Yeah. That's what she wanted to do her whole life. She was like, just carry me and then we'll just go, which I think is such a beautiful, small.
Saint John and Saint Therese were probably the two saints that really like had a profound, I want to mm-hmm. say, change in my prayer life. I think it was 3 summers ago at this point. And I want the word that I kept hearing when we were talking about prayer was like discipline, and how difficult sometimes it is to keep the prayer life, because you have to have discipline. Like, yes, you can be washing the dishes and give it up to Jesus, or Jesus, I trust in you when you're getting in and out of the car. Yeah, you can do that. But there's also like discipline of the mind to mm-hmm. do that, and discipline of the body. And those two really were the ones who started my discipline in prayer, which then my prayer, you know, propelled my healing and my growth forward in the last, like I said, like 3 years. It was a 30-day like devotional. I want to say it was on love. I probably have it on the bookshelf somewhere over there, but it was like, it was the first time that I was
Saint Therese, right?
This was Saint John. Sorry. Okay. This one was Saint John, and it was a 30-day book, and I read it for 30 days. It was the first time that I had ever done something for 30 days. It certainly in prayer, I know we had talked about Hallow in our discipline episode. I had never gotten that daily. And then after that 30 day, it was like, okay. Then I think right after that, it was like a 54 day novena came up mm-hmm. and I was able to do that. And then it was like, then I don't know that like I missed a day since on Hallow, you know what I mean? And just sure. like the discipline of the time. But also in that time is when I had read A Story of a Soul of Saint Therese.
Yes.
I had like, I guess in that time period, it had been almost like 2 years since I lost Brian. And I was like wanting to, I want to say like live again. I wanted to do something, give back, whatever it was. And I had all these like big plans. In fact, that was the first summer that Janine and I had ever spoken about a podcast before. And so that summer I had this expectation that giant things were going to happen. Like by the end of the summer, we're going to have a podcast, and this was going to happen. This was in 2022. But when I read her, it was like, I don't have to do a single thing but pray. And then it was soon after that that our prayer meeting started. And it was like, what is our prayer meeting? What is our prayer meeting? What is our purpose? And it took us a long time to like figure it out. But bottom line is just prayer. Amen. It's what we do. But what I loved about Saint Therese, especially reading about like the grief that, and the loss that she had in her life, and she was like this needy little child, and like the one that like cried all the time, and like me, you know, and the way I related to that is I wasn't necessarily like a needy, I didn't consider myself to be like a needy person, but to see her do that, and then to see her own path and her own growth and her own just like humility and just love for Jesus and love for prayer and dedication to prayer. Really cool to just have the testimony of patience and prayer is something too.
Sure.
2 years later, then the podcast came about.
Wow.
So
you guys mentioned St. Teresa of Avila and St. John of the Cross, who revolutionized the Carmelite spirituality. I read all their works years ago. Now I found a book that was The Cloud of Unknown by a 14th century monk who explains it so simply. And I just want to just explain where I'm at today with that contemplative prayer. So the mind, picture the mind, and picture in the mind a house. And there's two rooms in this house. The first room has these high windows, a door made of glass that's wide open. And so much light comes into that room. And there's this little old lady rocking in a rocking chair back and forth. And she has a pot of tea on the stove. And she's kind of a busybody. So she's always looking out to see who's passing by or who could come to visit. And her name is Miss Intellect. And what she's looking for are truths. So one day this apparent truth comes in and she says, "What's your name? How old are you? Do you have children? This and that." And she asks a ton of questions. And then when she feels that this is a good truth, she says, "Now you could open the door in this room. And there's another room. And my sister is in that room. But it's completely dark. There's no light, no windows." And why it's dark? Because her sister is blind. So this apparent truth goes in the dark room, and Miss Will, that's her sister's name, reaches out and embraces her, and she sees the good. Then one day, there's a rumor that infinite truth, capital I, capital T, is coming to visit. So she's so excited, and she can't wait for that day, and she's rocking in her rocking chair, has a pot of tea on, can't wait, and the pot of tea symbolizes all the questions she wants to ask. So infinite truth arrives and he's standing in the doorway and she's still rocking back and forth, not even noticing him rocking back and forth. And he's in the doorway, he's there. She just rocks herself so much that she falls asleep. So then he or she gets up and goes through the room, the lighted room, opens the door into the dark room, goes in, and Miss Will embraces infinite truth. And then at that point, the reason she couldn't recognize infinite truth is because she became blind, Miss Intellect. And it wasn't from any darkness, it's from the intense light. It's like standing 10 feet from the sun. You just can't, you're blinded. And she rested in the cloud of unknowing. So the intellect rested in the cloud of unknowing, and what the mind can't grasp, the will can embrace. So it's not the power of knowledge from the intellect. You can't think God. It's the power of the heart, of the will, to love God. And that's what the prayer of contemplation in simple forms is all about. One other thing I wanted to mention, there are another two rooms down in the basement. The one room, there's a little old lady. I don't know why it's a little old lady. looking at old photo albums. That's the memory. Then there's another one down there splicing all old movies together like Walt Disney and The Chosen. And that's the imagination. And the reason I mention all these three is because the only way we can really get to God and be totally immersed in Him is through our will, our heart to his heart, that heart-to-heart connection. When I'm praying this type of prayer, there's a sacred word that I use, which is a permission word, and it's love. That's what I use. So I'm praying. I'll start out, you know, offering my first fruits to the Lord, and I'm praying along, and a distraction comes in. I go to that word. Now, if 1,000 distractions come in a 30-minute period, and you oversee that distraction, you're loving God the whole time. Okay? So that's what it's all about. So also the memory could be a distraction, and the imagination. So you have to quiet those three faculties down so the will can be in the will of God. That's basically what it's about.
Yeah.
That is so beautiful.
It reminded me of Mary and Martha.
Yeah.
It really reminded me of Mary and Martha, and like Jesus walks in and like Martha's like can't really even focus on anything except everything. And also reminds me of Teresa of Avila's mansions.
Interior castle.
Imagery and words were coming out, and it's the basement one really struck me because I feel like that's our stuck in the past and our like fear of the future and like the inability to be joined into the present, which is really, really cool because first of all, the main floors of that were beautiful in and of itself, but also remembering that we get in there. And I love the funny reels that I've seen on Instagram recently about that. It's like you sit down to pray and you're like, okay, thank you, Jesus, and whatever. And then it's like, oh, wait, what was I supposed to get at the store today? And then, you know, like the distractions, because it's real. That's just the truth of it. The truth of it is we have the head and we have the heart and we're stuck in the past and we're afraid of the future. And like those are all the realities of it. But the beauty of prayer is that when those are joined with God and in union with God in prayer, then they settle.
Yes.
They really settle in. It's like the middle is that present moment.
With prayer, it's almost like there's so many different forms of it. But I feel like for me, a lot with like adoration stuff, it almost silences the noise, the distractions. And I could tell you that when I do the rosary sometimes, I mean, I've told my mom about this. It's like, oh, go check your phone. Go do this. Go do that. And it's like, I got to just like take a breath. I got to stop. I got to just focus on him for a bit. This is my time with him. This is my break. I don't need to do something else. You don't always need to work, but you also want to stay with him. When you do work, you want to be with him. And when you don't, you want to be with him. And it's almost like we are temples of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're supposed to hold it in us, have it always flow with us. And that power is what's going to get you through. It's what's going to charge you as long as you let it move.
Yeah, I really love the, you know, the theme of this is treasures of the church. And I think things like the rosary and things like that, like if you can't get there, that's why the church gives them. That's why, you know, if you're in that anxious moment, and you're like, okay, you know, do the rosary. And it's like, I did three parts of one decade, and you're like, okay, whatever, you know, like you started something. It's like, it's honestly, it's so connected to the Brown Scapular too, because it's like, that was like the holding, the touching, the visual, the tangible, and the prayer. If you can't get there in that contemplative space, the rote prayer is available for you also. And it's the discipline of going. It's like, okay, I went to adoration. I was really distracted and like, okay, I'm a failure. I'm not going to go again. Like, no, go tomorrow or go the next day or go next week. Like just the continuation of going, like your body, your mind, your heart, they learn. And it's not a script.
Yeah, the sacramentals, that George is his name. That was a wonderful episode, by the way. They're like a catalyst. They're like a starter.
Exactly.
And I even think he touched upon going, doing all these sacramentals, like rosary, all that, to start you. And then eventually you go to that heart-to-heart, that one-in-one.
Exactly.
You know? And it's actually, you know, where it's a healing process, a lifelong healing process to become like Jesus. Our hearts, with his hearts as one.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing. Just a quick story. You mentioned adoration. St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, she had visions of Jesus, and she's the one who started the devotion to the Sacred Heart. She also that's where Holy Hour started, because she would pray like Christ prayed in Gethsemane. Mm-hmm. And he went up to his apostles and said, you can't spend at least an hour with me. And that's where the Holy Hour came from, you know, and he talked about adoration. And quick story about Margaret Mary. She was getting these visions, and I believe it was her spiritual director, her priest, who said, how do I know these are real? And she said, well, I keep getting them. And then he said, I'll tell you what, next time you get a vision, ask Jesus what my last mortal sin was. So she goes about her way, she gets this vision, and she asks Jesus. And then the priest comes to her again. Did you ask him? She said, yes. Well, he said he forgot.
I know that story.
Yeah, isn't that wonderful?
It's and it's so true. We hold on to our sins. Mm-hmm. We hold on to the things that we've done wrong, but he lets it go. He forgives, and then he forgets, and it's unbelievable, really, the power in that. I know that story.
That stays with me all the time. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's so beautiful, because as you know, the great counterfeit is out there, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. This morning he started up with me, and he usually whispers in my ear when I'm about to do something to glorify God. And he says, look what you did, you know, whatever. Look at, you know, it's all lies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's almost like you're holding it against somebody. But when the lies start to come, you hold it against yourself. It's like that, you know, you're not enough. You're not good enough. Who are you to be able to speak on this? You know, nobody wants to hear. Those are like little lies that maybe are in that basement, in that house that you described, that are like, sometimes they're good memories, but sometimes they're not. And sometimes right. It's like, oh, let's just mess with this little memory here in order to create a distraction so that you forget who you are. Jesus forgets the parts that we're not. And we need to learn to forget the parts that we're not and hold on to the truth of who we are, which is children of God.
I feel like with praying, it's almost like praying produces, you know, the fruits of the Spirit and stuff. And, you know, amen. That's how you could tell that if you're talking to God, it produces the fruits, joy, kind, you know.
Kindness, peace.
I would like to think that it's almost like when we're praying, it's like we're tending to a garden. We tend to those fruits with Him. But then the liar will try to plant seeds of weeds, mm-hmm, and try to choke out the plants. But then it's our job to see them, acknowledge them, rip them out, get rid of them, move on.
Wow.
You can't stay there,
yeah,
but you can acknowledge them and rip them out. You could cut off the hydra's head.
Mm-hmm.
Just ignore it. Look at Him.
Mm-hmm. Holy moly, the images, yeah, that you two are creating. I know. Today. It's unbelievable.
I know. I see the house. Now I see the garden. I'm like waiting for a painting.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
Good job. What an episode, guys. This Seriously. Is awesome.
I'm so excited. Me I mean, too. There's four points I want to make about this contemplative prayer, and, you know, prayer of the quiet, prayer of the heart. You know, you don't have to have this certain formula. Like you said, Marissa, mm-hmm, like you said, Janine and James, that part of prayer is just having Christ as everything in that prayer. But first, through God's grace, there's that grace of attraction. Mm-hmm. We're attracted, mm-hmm, to the Lord. Then there's that clinging. That's when the distractions come in. What do we have to do? We have to cling to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Then once we do that.
I always see Mary Magdalene for that. Yeah. I'm like, turn to Mary Magdalene.
Then the third point is enjoyment.
Mm.
And you have, and you enjoy the Lord. The final one is union.
Mm.
And very few, I hate to say it, in this world will get that complete union. But there are some, and even in our lives, even if it's a microsecond, you could have that total union with Christ. And there's nothing like it. It's complete ecstasy.
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to arrive at. And for you listeners out there, like I said, you know, any type of prayer, just keep moving in prayer. The word is moving. And I think that was Yvette's word. Wherever you are, God bless you, Yvette.
She'll be back next Friday.
Yeah.
I just wanted to add that me and my mom usually go for walks and stuff. Mm-hmm. And while on the walk, she'll say, wow, that is a beautiful tree. But she won't stick to the tree. It won't just be the tree the whole time. And when she sees like the trees or the flowers or stuff like that, she reflects on them, but she also thanks God for them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, acknowledging of beauty, acknowledging of the bad, acknowledging of everything, but it's not staying there. Mm-hmm. It's continuing to move with him. And sometimes when we're on that walk with him, if we see mud, just tell him to carry you.
Mm-hmm. Right. Amen. Carry you up the stairs like Saint Therese.
Wow. Right. Like, it looks like Saint Therese might be the patron saint of this episode.
Yeah.
Even though Teresa of Avila is the Teresa of queen Avila, of contemplation.
There's another Teresa.
Benedicta.
Benedicta. Edith Stein. She was an atheist. And during the Second World War, the Germans came in and whatever. But she had a conversion after reading the life of Saint Teresa of Avila. Mm. After she read that,
she's my girl. She said,
"Wow, this is truth. Talk about that truth in the beginning. Yeah. This is truth. The new wine.
Yeah, the new wine.
All right, guys. Tiny miracle time.
My tiny miracle is a new pool cover that we've been waiting for the entire summer, and it's finally like getting put in. Well, it's in now. We're just waiting for the water to get high enough. But new pool cover is beautiful.
I love that.
My tiny miracle is." Surprisingly, the weeding. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just had fun doing it.
I was thinking of that for you when you were sharing. I was like, oh, I feel like he's really been out there a lot. You That's have plenty good. Of weeds in our yard.
Oh, yeah.
My tiny miracle is I had an issue with my sink upstairs. I have double sinks. And a few months ago, the water pressure in the main one that I use like got really low. And then in the second one, it just stopped completely. Wow. And I was like, oh, God. Here goes the vanity, thousands mm-hmm. and thousands of dollars. My dad came over last night and he's like, let's just clean out the things first and then see how it goes. Well, that was the issue. And the sinks are so strong, I could barely keep them on all the way. Wow. So my tiny miracle is that it took literally 2 minutes and 30 seconds to fix it. So thank you, Dad. Love
That's
you.
That's great.
That's a big miracle.
My tiny miracle, when I was asked to be on this podcast for this subject, Treasures of the Church, that's what you relate to me. So my two youngest granddaughters said, Pa, we have a surprise for you. We want to do a performance for you. Oh. So they put on a song and they were dancing, going through everything. And it was My Treasure is Jesus.
Oh, I love that.
Came right on the heels of when you sent me what we were going to be doing.
Wow.
Treasure. And I believe this podcast, that was our treasure.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I love that so much. That is so beautiful.
I love that. Thanks so much for being here, Mike.
My pleasure. I love being here.
We'll see you very soon.
Thank you.
Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share. And I'd like to give a shout out to Amanda. She listens every single week, and she just is somebody that I feel like has such a generosity in her that it's like unmatched. I just love you, Amanda. Shout out to you this week.
Thanks, Amanda.
And before I say my goodbye, I just want to say one thing. Just remember, when the enemy calls you by your sin, Jesus calls you by your name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you guys so much. See you next week.
See you next week.
Bye.
See you on the flip side, butterflies.